Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Adani Total Gas Limited Q4 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Antique Stock Broking. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Kishan Mundhra from Antique Stock Broking. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Mundhra.
Thank you, Tanvi. Good evening, everyone, and apologies for the delay, and thanks for joining. I welcome you all on behalf of Antique Broking to Adani Total Gas's 4Q and full year results conference call. The company today is being represented by Mr. Suresh P. Manglani, who is the Executive Director and the CEO, Mr. Parag Parikh, who is the CFO, and Mr. Priyansh Shah, who is the IR of the company. With that, now I would like to hand over the call to the management for the initial remarks, post which we will move on to the question and answer session. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Kishan. Good evening, everyone. Let me extend a hearty welcome to all our investors, analysts, fund for taking out their time and participating in today's call for Q4 FY23 result of Adani Total Gas and for the full year FY23. As you all know, at ATGL, we adhere to the highest safety standards, and safety is a precondition to work, and we continue to inculcate a strong safety culture at ATGL, which helps us to build safe and reliable CGD and EV and bio infrastructure across India. First, let me give you highlights on the CGD infrastructure front. As a part of our stated strategy to fast-track and accelerate steel pipeline and CNG network so that natural gas ecosystem is developed well in the new geographical area, which we have won in ninth, tenth, and eleventh round. This acceleration program of a steel pipeline will certainly help us to create infrastructure for a last mile connectivity in much faster way. Similarly, it will help us to create CNG infrastructure and the connections to the home and industrial commercial consumers. ATGL has achieved over 10,880 inch kilometer, nearly 11,000 inch kilometer of steel pipeline, and also roughly 1,000 additional kilometer of IP pipeline we laid in this year. For the steel pipeline network, we are ahead of a minimum work program commitment in most of our geographical area, awarded in ninth and tenth round. On the CNG front side, we have added highest ever 126 new CNG station. Last year, we added 117, this year, 126 station in the 12-month period, and the total tally has now gone to 460. If I add 277 stations set up by our JV company, IOGPL, our footprint extends to now 737 CNG station in the country. I'm also very pleased to inform you all that out of this 460 station, we have also, there is an inclusion of one CBG station, which we have set up in Varanasi, which is not our geographical area. Also, out of this 460 stations which we have set up, 87 stations, roughly 20%, is on the CODO, company-owned, dealer-operated, or a DODO, dealer-owned, dealer-operated format. On the PNG front, I'm very pleased to inform you all that we have continued the run rate of over 10,000 new homes per day. In a whole year, we have connected 1.24 lakh new homes on piped gas. The total tally has now gone to 7.04 lakh consumers. We have also added 867 new industrial and commercial consumers, and total tally of INC consumers have now crossed 7,000 consumers. During FY23, we have seen high gas prices. We have been conscious on balancing the price rise to our consumers and have taken a calibrated approach in passing the additional cost burden. With a significant increase in the domestic gas price, Government of India took initiative to announce the new pricing formula for domestic gas prices, which relates to the APM gas prices for our home and CNG. gas supplies. The new formula has prescribed the floor of $4 and ceiling of $600 with a moratorium of 2 years for no price increase on the either in the floor or in the cap. And after 2 years, there will be an increase of 0.25 in the floor as well as on the cap side. This has certainly brought stability in the pricing regime and also brought the pricing moderation from 8.57 as price has come down to 6.5, which was the ceiling. And ATGL, being the one of the largest CGD company in India, took the initiative to pass through the benefit to the end consumers to build the demand momentum in the country, both for PNG and CNG segment. We are confident that with this very supportive initiative from Government of India and simultaneously softening of RLNG prices, there will be a momentum and boost in the demand across India for both PNG and CNG segment. Now let me share with you the numbers achieved during this year and quarter. Our overall volume of CNG and PNG grew by 8% as compared to 12 months period of last year. PNG volume for full year was at 459 MMSCM, which grew by 28%. And PNG volume was at 294 MMSCM, which degrew, it means there was a degrowth, by 13% as compared to the last year, owing to the price rise in the PNG prices. On the financial front, revenue for full year stood at INR 4683 crores, up by 46% as compared to FY22. Our EBITDA this time crossed 900 crores, so it is 11% higher at 907 crore as compared to 815 crore in FY22. Profit before tax and profit after tax both were at 716 crore PBT and 530 crore PAT, both grew by 5% each. On the quarterly numbers, revenue for the Q4 FY23 stood at INR 1197 crore, nearly 1200 crore, up by 12% as compared to Q4 FY22. EBITDA for the quarter Jan to March 23 grew by 45% at INR 205 crore as compared to INR 141 crore in Q4 FY22. Profit before tax and profit after tax grew by 37 and 38% at 142 crore was the profit before tax for Q4 and 104 crore was the profit after tax for a Q4. ATGL has a healthy balance sheet with a debt to equity ratio at 0.47 and net debt to EBITDA at 1.11. Now, in line with our strategy of diversifying into adjacent businesses, which we have been giving you all details about what we are doing on the adjacent businesses, ATGL has formed two SPVs, one on EV side and other on biomass side. Both SPVs have commensurate businesses. This would enable us to offer multi-fuel choices to our consumers. In the year, we started the SPV sometime in August end or so, e-mobility part, and we have formulated, developed the systems, processes, resources, and we have also done now 104 EV charging points at 26 strategic locations in various parts of the country, which includes airports, our own CNG stations, places like Gift City in Gandhinagar. We are also focusing B2B partnership, B2C model. We are calibrating both the sites, and we hope that this 104 point EV charging points will grow to 3,000 plus charging points in the next 12 to 18 months' time. On the biomass side, as we have last time we stated, now the work on our largest biomass project in Uttar Pradesh, which we have commissioned, is in full swing. The digesters have started construction. And we hope that phase one, which is a three phases project, the phase one project of this biomass plant will be commissioned in this financial year 23-24. At ATGL, we continue to focus to our consumers and to have delightful experience. In this year, we had launched several digital initiatives, including a smart IVR, full-fledged now, the Adani, My Adani Gas app has become a full-service app. It is in vernacular languages. People can choose their Gujarati or Hindi option in addition to English. An entire bouquet of service. You can register a new service connection. You can do the name transfer. You can seek a refund, lodge your complaint, give your meter reading, as well as from the registration to the live gas connection, there is a complete journey being mapped digitally and customer is being provided the milestone messages like in the same model as a passport model which we get stage by stage messages. That also now we have mapped. So this is now a full-blown My Adani Gas app which is offering a very delightful experience to our consumers. We have been focusing on ESG and that focus is continuing through our several initiatives including our flagship Greenmosphere initiative. We have won ESG Initiative of the Year Award in this FY23-24 from ET Energy World Annual Gas Conclave for its activity, for our activities under Greenmosphere Initiative, working to create a low-carbon society. At ATGL, as we have been always stating, we have got 5 independent directors on the board, 3 women directors on the boards, 12 committees of the boards, which are looking after or overseeing several aspects of the businesses. We have a very strong governance framework with board-backed assurances and policies which enables us to have sustainable growth with collaborative development of the community. Lastly, I would like to acknowledge and be thankful the role played by our stakeholders. You saw the Government of India coming out with a supportive policy. Consumers, our dealers, suppliers, our partners, the investment partners, the investors, fund houses, business partner and stakeholders, which all have been associated with Adani Total Gas, and lastly, our employees. I thank them all for a fantastic performance. Thank you all. Now, this is open for question and answer.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Puneet from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity. My first question is with respect to PNG demand. Will it be possible to break up the PNG demand between domestic and industrial customers to give a sense of, you know, what happened on the domestic front and how much is the fall on the industrial front?
Yeah, so you want the data points, correct? For the 22-23?
Correct.
So, Rahul, why don't you share the data points on the demand, which has the consumer demands on PNG, domestic, commercial, industrial consumers, and the CNG. 4 segment is asking the total demand.
Can I
hear you? So, yeah, we have, no? Why don't you give? 450 breakup? Yes, give it to me.
So, in the meanwhile, I saw Parag Parikh here. So, I will answer the question as far as the composition is concerned.
Yeah.
Firstly, if you look at the FY23 annual composition, the composition constitutes of about 60% plus on CNG, while the balance 39 to 40% is on the PNG. Now, within that composition of 39 to 40%, if you look at it on an overall basis, 28% is on the industrial, 8% is on the domestic, and about 3% is on the commercial. So this is the composition as far as an overall volume composition is concerned.
So if you look at industrial, you said, out of your 40 number.
Yes. If you look at within that, within the overall volume of 753, industrial volume comprises of about 213. So that's the industrial MMSCM in the 753 component that you see. Whilst the balance domestic and commercial put together is close to another 80. So totally 293 as far as the industrial or PNG volume is concerned, while 459 is the CNG.
Yeah. So And how much has it fallen, if you can give the same number for FY22 also?
So, as mentioned in the opening comments, we've seen a growth as far as the CNG volume is concerned. The CNG volume grew at about 28%. And vis-a-vis this, as far as the PNG number is concerned, PNG saw a drop of close to about 13%, which on an overall basis offset it, because on an annualized basis, our average volume of 1.91 grew to 2.06, which is 8% on an overall portfolio basis, while specifically on PNG, as I mentioned, it went down by close to 13%.
So yeah, that's what I'm trying to understand, the breakup of this 13%. How much was the hit on industrial side and how much was on the domestic and commercial side?
Sure. So if you look at it purely from an industrial perspective, and which is where really the impact was there, commercial and domestic volumes have only grown. In the industrial one, these on an annualized basis, the volumes actually came down by about 19 to 20%.
And how is it trending now in an environment of reduced APM price?
So, Puneet, there are two things now. One is, as I stated in my opening remarks, one is the domestic gas prices for APM has moderated, which we have passed through.
Yeah.
We are certainly seeing, even when we speak to OEMs, they are getting a good order book. There is a lot of waiting on CNG side. Number of CNG vehicles, factory fitted as well as the retrofitted, both are increasing. So we hope to see a momentum building on CNG side. Domestic, of course, now we have also every CGD entity, including ourselves, we have passed through. We hope that also will bring, besides price, there are many other benefits of PNG which every housewife and every house is recognizing. So demand side, you have seen we have connected 1.24 lakhs. As compared to last year, we connected 86,000. So there is a good build-up of a demand which is happening on domestic side. So we see this price moderation which Government of India supported will further boost the demand on these two segments. On industrial and commercial side, we are also seeing actually the fortunately there is a softening of RLNG prices. Plus, there is a domestic gas which is coming from RIL BP side. We were the largest bidder. If you see from a CGD segment point of view, we got 0.4 million roughly in the last 6 million bidding. So I think all this is going to help us to pass through the price benefit to the end consumers in industrial commercial. And we hope to see demand growing from even INC segment.
Understood. And if you can also give some color on your EV charging business.
Yeah.
What percentage is two-wheeler, four-wheeler, how much is slow, fast? And where all are you installing this?
So we have just begun. If you see, we are still at only 26 charging station. 104 charging point.
104, yeah.
104, as I stated. Most of our charging stations, FSN airports, will have four-wheeler charging points. And other places we are setting up in B2C model, we are also putting slow and fast charging, both combinations. Some places, in fact, we are putting bus charging systems also. So I think as we grow further, this, as I stated, this will be a calibrated approach. We also are focusing on partnerships on B2B and various cab operators, various bus operators. So I think we will see more on EV to come in 23-24.
Okay, so there is nothing on the two-wheeler side, right? Everything is four-wheeler.
No. Two-wheeler also said, as I said, two-wheeler also is a new segment which will get added in our consumer basket. Two-wheeler will be the focus. Wherever we are setting up the EV charging station, we are definitely providing B2C model as well as some places in B2B where we are actually having a space and the demand on the two side as well.
And these are incubated steps, we'll continue to build over this, and aim is to set up another 2,500 to 3,000 charging points in both the B2B, B2C models over the next 18 to 24 months.
And would you also likely be using your distribution outlets for these, or these are different outlets?
See, the primarily it is a merit-based business development. It's a separate company, as we said, SPV. There is a separate business team which is working. They will see the business demands, whichever places it comes. And if that be our stations, they will get a full preference to set up EV charging station. But primarily focus for them is to locate the strategic locations. and across the country, highways, heritage sites, and various B2B partnerships. Of course, our strength will be definitely useful for this SPV to strengthen EV charging setup much faster than other newcomers, actually.
Yes. And on your financials, post the price cut that you pass on the gas price, how are the margins likely to be going into this year versus the 4Q numbers?
Sorry, can you repeat the question, please?
I think going into 1Q, one month of April, over May, there has been a price cut in APM gas which you passed on to consumers. How are the margins likely to trend into this quarter and this year versus the fourth quarter?
So, if you heard, whilst there is a Government of India initiative, and that has certainly, helped in bringing down the input cost on the APM price. As a distribution entity, what we have done is we have passed on these benefits to the end consumer. So if you see it from purely that perspective, all these benefits are passed on to the consumers. What we do expect out of this in the coming months, this will result in terms of increase in terms of volume, both from the existing consumers as well as potential conversions of newer customers adding at this reduced price.
So basically what you're saying, at gross margin level, it shouldn't change.
Sorry, Puneet, I would request you to please come back in the queue. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yogesh Patil from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question, sir. For quarter 4 FY23, what was the proportion of APM gas for your priority segment?
So, Yogesh, first of all, how are you? All good? You have been...
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Good that I am happy that almost you have been attending almost all our calls. So, Q4, we will give you APM. I think as Parag stated in earlier also that APM was roughly 55 to 60%, Parag. Yeah, around 55 to 60% proportion is the APM for both domestic and CNG.
Purely from a shortfall, purely from a demand to supply perspective, we have continued to get APM. Today, APM comprises on a yearly basis, APM comprises almost 88 to 90% of the supply. And this lag is largely to do with the fact that, as CNG volumes have grown, the APM supply for that, comes as a consequent effect. So to that extent, there is a lag. But as far as our supply is concerned, we've got 88% over the year.
So around 12% we are managing through the shortfall, which we are managing through our own portfolio, which is managed. Yes,
sir, in the last 6 months, as per your observation regarding this shortfall of APM, is it in the range of 10 to 12% or it is varying from 10 to 15% or 10 to 20% and it is coming down or it is increasing? Just last 6 months, your observation regarding that.
One, Yogesh, it will be largely now since the allocation is on GA basis. That certainly vary. If the particular GA is growing much faster rate, supposing a new geographical area, it is growing much faster rate, there could be a shortfall of 15 to 20%. But on an average basis, as Parag gave you on a portfolio basis, this is around 12% is what we had the shortfall. Largely because even 8 to 10%, you saw the CNG has grown by 28%. So home also has grown. So if you take out INC, we have grown at a very good rate. So that will cause some shortfall because there is a time lag in allocation. But yes, some GAs could have 15%, some GAs could have 20%. It is all the function of the growth which the geographical area achieves in the 3 months period, which actually takes a time lag.
Okay. So the next question, over the period of long term, like 3 to 4 years, what is your in-house estimates about the proportion of APM gas for the priority segment? So how much do you expect will be the allocation? Will it remain in the 88% range or will it come down to the 85, 80? So what is your in-house estimates for that?
See, today we have a stated policy of under no cut first priority to CGD industry for home and CNG. So the whatever APM gas is coming, we are consuming roughly around 40% or 42% of that part. Remaining is going to other segment. We hope, since government has a very strong vision of a growth for CGD business, as we grow on APM side, they will continue to maintain similar kind of a level of a supplies of APM to CGD businesses, because there is a scope to continue to increase the APM supplies to CGD industries. While there is now domestic gas is coming, which could also become bundled with for other segments. But we need to see how the future growth of CGD business is coming up and how government is going to be allocating the gas. So far, we are seeing a very good support coming up, and we hope that this levels will be maintained.
Okay, sir. I have two last questions from my side. I will quickly wrap it up.
Generally, you do six balls, no? So I think it's a... Complete
your
over. No problem.
Yes, sir. So, latest PNGRB decision regarding the Faridabad GA. So, can you please share the current sales volume at Faridabad and the latest decision of PNGRB, how it will impact on your expansion plans at Faridabad?
See, first is this decision has just come. There we have received now the order where our three areas of Faridabad geographical area, largely domestic dominated areas, have been now in that order states that it has been given to the IGL also to develop while maintaining the status quo for our existing infrastructure. We and our legal teams are studying the various, the implication of this order and what options are available to the company. In fact, we have notified to the stock markets also accordingly. So I think let us wait for the next investor call to get complete clarity on this order implication as well as the option which we exercise.
So what is the current sales volume at Faridabad, sir? Any ballpark number if you have?
Hello, Kitna bhai? 0.5.
And what is 0.52? Thanks. And what is the potential of this GA in the long term period over a period of next 5 years?
See, this is a NCR geographical area. As the regulations are coming up on use of natural gas, demand is only going to grow and grow further. So volume growth will be better.
Okay, sir. And the last question from my side, the PNG industrial. So looking into the future propane prices, it implies that the landed prices of propane would be more and more competitive with the PNG industrial. So what would be your strategy to tackle this kind of competition or a risk for the PNG industrial volume?
See, any industrial consumer, you speak or we speak, they want continuous reliable supply, particularly coming through pipeline like ours. Now, if you said propane is going to be competitive, which we are also aware, anybody who is going to be comparing these two, they will always prefer even a slightly premium the pipe natural gas, which gives a continuous sustained supply, uninterrupted. Whereas in case of propane, you need to get a tanker, you need to do a lot of order deliveries, so many things are happening. So our view is storage part that customers are preferring, and wherever in fact we are in slight premium, they are still working with us and we are trying to be as competitive as possible. So I think we believe we are trying to ring fence around the propane and other fuels. Customers not only are getting benefit of sustained supply, also we see some quality improvements on the customer side. We are hoping and we are confident that consumers shall continue to use and avail pipe natural gas.
Thanks. Thanks a lot, sir. It was really helpful.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask any questions, please enter star and one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Mayank Maheshwari from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the call, sir. Just one question from my end, a bit more strategic, very frankly, in terms of your long-term view, not yet you are launching other businesses within on energy transmission and energy distribution. So if you kind of think about it over the next 5 years or so, like, is there a... focus at the Total Adani level and the management level to say, okay, these many exergios have to kind of get now being distributed, which is either low carbon fuels or this X percentage should be gas. So is there a mix that you are trying to target when you're kind of putting up these expansion policies on the non-gas side of the business in distribution?
Mayank, it's a very good question. And, you know, as we have been stating earlier also, and you can see, and you are actually coming from Morgan Stanley, you also know how India is growing. India is a very vast country. There's a huge deficit of, you know, still the renewable energy as well as the natural gas, which is still being imported. The CGD infrastructure is yet to grow in large number of districts in the country. So we believe that our CGD vision shall continue to remain, you know, agile as we have conceived, as well as the way we are implementing in all 33 geographical area, including our 19 GO or JV companies. So 52 geographical area will see a good business growth, infrastructure growth on the CGD side, because we see the demand traction on those sides. Every home requires a piped gas. There is a large number of CNG vehicle traction we are seeing now with a moderation of prices. And both industrial and commercial side, of course, EV is not coming. So from that perspective, I think we are seeing a good business case for a CGD side. On the EV side, as we see a lot of promotional schemes coming from government, as well as you know, the new renewable energy coming in the market, so we, part of our strategy to seize the adjacent businesses, we have started working on EV side. We see a separate set of a segment of a consumers who have a choice of EV. One choice to us was that we lose that market, otherwise we seize that market. So we chose the later part. So is the case of a CBG. Government has a huge vision. You saw this time budget also, the Pranam scheme, everything which has come. Very favorable. We are seeing state after state quite favorable on the biomass side. And it is good for the country to have waste to wealth program. So I think these three segments, while they are adjacent, they are complementary. All three put together would create energy security for India. So I think we still believe each business segment has its own market, and we would be able to seize those opportunities in each of segment, whether CGD, EV, and biomass.
Got it, sir. And I think just a related question on this was more about the capex allocation. Obviously, city gas will be the biggest part of it. But if I was to kind of break it up on the non-city gas side, how much capital allocation is going towards electric versus CBG?
So, Mayank, again, we have taken baby steps as far as the EV business and the bio CBG is concerned. We had both these entities incorporated as wholly owned subsidiaries just about in the second quarter of this year. Like I was mentioning a little while earlier, the immediate plan over the next 18 to 24 months is to set up about 2,500 to 3,000 charging points as far as the EV side is concerned. Having said that, EV as a per charging station is extremely a low capex. So the overall number, you know, will remain, you know, very low as far as EV investments are concerned compared to the overall CGD business. This would be, you know, less than double digits to begin with. Similarly, as far as bio CBG is concerned, we ventured into the first and the largest biogas plants to be set up in the state of UP. Having said that, we are intending to do this in a phased manner. So we are looking at incrementally increasing the size over the next two to three years, whilst the first one that we embark is a smaller size. So the investments again out here will be, you know, in single digits to begin with. And as I said, 12 to 24 months, you know, will also allow us to really see the surge and the experiences around the two businesses, which could possibly, you know, move towards to some extent a larger investment than the single digit, as I mentioned, on the EV bio. The core focus for now certainly would be, you know, to continue to build a steel pipeline network on the newer geographies that we've been awarded, continuing to lay down and accelerating the CNG stations, whilst on the earlier rounds of the 9th and the 10th, the thrust is in terms of connecting the home connections.
Gotcha. Very clear. Best of luck.
Thank you, Mayank.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask any questions, please enter star and one. Next question is from the line of Kirtan Mehta from BOB Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for this opportunity. One question on the RIL gas, where we have got the largest allocation of 0.39 MMSCMD. What will be the breakup between the priority segment and for the industrial and commercials?
So the priority breakup would be roughly, I think we got 0.33. 3.2. 0.32 we got for priority for home and CNG, APM1. And remaining we got the INC part, industrial and consumer part.
So with this 0.32 for home and CNG, is it covering our existing gap or does it cover for our even some of the future gap as well?
Largely would be existing. What we saw at Parag stated around 12% was a shortfall. And the growth which we are seeing coming up and in at least is a quarter lag. And we also kept in mind that there are future domestic bidding rounds are coming. So keeping all in that mind, we have been saying in every investor call that we have a very good portfolio policy in place, the gas build-up portfolio policy, which our sourcing and business development team is doing. So this was part of that calibrated approach to bid certain volume so that we have in our portfolio this the RLBP gas in this 6 million round.
Right. And in terms of the shortfall that we had, so now largely it will get met by the HPHT prices and we don't have to access the LNG, which is at this point of time costlier than the HPHT. Is that right understanding?
Yeah, largely you are absolutely right. But sometimes we see, in fact, IGX throwing up some good desperate offers as well. So who knows, sometime we may get even better prices and business is growing. So we will be seizing those opportunities as well.
Right. In terms of sort of understanding this, with RLNG prices sort of adjusting down at the moment, would we be seeking opportunity to enter into some of the medium term or the longer term contract to support our IR, industrials and commercials volume growth from here?
So I think I'm connecting you to Rahul, who's our gas sourcing and BD head. So let him give you, you know, you listen from horse's mouth rather than from me.
Thank you.
Hi, Ketan, Rahul here.
Hi.
Ketan, as you very rightly mentioned, we actually want to take, you know, address any market opportunities that come up in order to optimize our gas sourcing portfolio. So therefore, we actually keep an open position of about 5 to 15%. Which is based on the contracted quantities and the take or pay of our various diversified portfolio. And in case we get any good opportunities, whether in the short, medium or long term, we then get into those contracts. So even now we continue to scan the market because we are getting into the summer and there are sometimes that good, you know, medium term or long term opportunities are available. At this point of time, there were certain medium-term opportunities and we captured that for a year. We are continuing to scan the market, but we want to be absolutely certain that we get very attractive contracts if we commit for 3 to 5 years.
Understood.
Have I been able to answer your question?
Yeah, I think gives us a very good perspective in terms of how to look at the strategic sourcing. One more question, if you allow me, just to understand the industrial side segment. Would you be able to share the segment breakup in terms of the end user industry?
Diversified, largely. End user. Yeah, it is largely diversified.
It's largely diversified. In Ahmedabad, for example, we would have about 40% of the portfolio would be about dyes and chemicals. Then we would have about 20% from the rolling mills and the foundry industry. And some textile industry, some ceramics. In Faridabad, we have a lot of auto industry and the tire industry, etc. So it's a diversified portfolio of several industry segments.
Fine, sir. Thank you. Thanks for.
Thanks, Ketan. Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask any questions, please enter star and one. The next question is from the line of Harsh Maru from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. So two bookkeeping questions from my side. One is on the finance cost. So could you give us some more color on the higher finance cost for this quarter? And the other is if you could throw some light on the loss in terms of the IOAGPL's JV share. So these would be my two questions.
Yes. Sure. So we'll give you.
So thank you, Harsh. As far as the finance costs are concerned, the finance costs, if you see in the third quarter, had actually gone down. And the finance costs in third quarter had gone down because, you know, we had taken an accounting view in terms of some of the capitalization that is being done for the newer geographies. So it's really an implication of that why you see a little bit of a higher finance cost as far as the year and the fourth quarter is concerned. Having said that, and just to give you a perspective in the right spirit, if you look at the overall gross debt, our overall gross debt today stands at 1,372. This is a debt which is sitting against an overall asset block of close to 3,900, which effectively means that about 35% of the gross debt is actually funding our current fixed assets. With the existing cash that is sitting on the balance sheet of ATGL, our net debt to EBITDA is 1.11. So that's as far as our debt position is concerned and our interest cost. Your second question was in terms of IOA GPL numbers. IOA GPL, you know, continues to, you know, ramp up as far as its own performance is concerned. If you look at in terms of their own quarter and annual numbers, they have started, you know, improving over a period of time. And this is simply because, you know, we are seeing their infrastructure growth as far as in terms of their volume growth. The overall EBITDA for IOA GPL stands at close to 215 odd crore. And as far as the year-end PAT is concerned, the year-end PAT is close to about 36 odd crore. As far as the current particular quarter is concerned, quarter has, you know, had some implications as far as APM gas is concerned, as far as partial gas procurement and sale is concerned, which is why there is an implication as far as the quarter is concerned. But on an overall number, as I said, you know, they are at a annualized EBITDA of close to 250.
All right. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, if you wish to ask any questions, please enter star and one. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
Thank you very much. Thanks all for participating in the call, taking out their valuable time. Look forward for their participation in the next investor call. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for participation.
Thank you. If you have any further questions, please, you know, write to us in case of any further questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.